Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you on this, oh, such a sweaty day?
Dun, 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 dun. You make my balls drip along. Dun, dun, dun. Then, well, there's something wrong. We go home.
Always makes me think of Train Spotting.
I know. Yeah, when he has an overdose. Yeah, he sees a baby, a dead baby crawling on the ceiling.
Ooh, terrifying.
You know, it actually makes me think of Comic Relief. Or was it Children in Need? But it was in the UK in the mid-90s. There was a sort of mass cover of Lou Reed's Perfect Day, done by loads and loads of different celebrities and singers and pop stars. And I always remember Tom Jones just being like, okay, I get, because everyone gets one line. And Tom Jones was like, I'm going to do all of the singing in this line. Oh, it's such a perfect day. He really goes at 11.
Me and my friends always used to say that about Christina Aguilera in the Lady Marmalade song. You know, at the end when she's like, they're doing the roll call and it's just like Pink. And she's like, hey, Pink, hey, Pink. And then it's like, Mia, Mia. And it's like, Christina, Mia. She tries to hit every single note. She's like, this is my last chance. I need to hit all of the notes.
Trying to sing over Little Kim at the same time. But I am also, of course it is hot, but I am also excited, Luke. Why? Because tomorrow is Cinemania. We have developed a partnership with Cineworld. We were going to do this a long time ago, but you know, worldwide events. So we've finally been able to get on Cineworld's YouTube channel, Cineworld, like one of the biggest cinema chains in the world. And we're going to be running a Quizzlemania movie version. I'm not going to be on it, but I'm going to be in the chats, chatting away. Luke and Laurie are actually competing. Adam's hosting. And yeah, this is a big deal for us. So yeah, this is just sort of a, because we all love movies. You know, look, a lot of our background's in film. I did film at university. Luke did film, animation, media studies.
Entertainment technology, but I've made films when I got out of university.
Exactly, yeah. And it would, you know, we love wrestling, we also love movies. So it'd be really good if you wonderful podcast listeners could just do a little bit of supporting. Head over to Cineworld YouTube channel, slam dunk the little subscribe button, and, you know, watch the stuff we're going to make over there, starting from tomorrow at 3 p.m. UK time.
Yes, dead excited for that. Looking forward to, I may have lost my Quizzlemania crown, but there's a new prize in sight. And I will become the first ever Cinemania champion.
The inaugural. Well, you've got stiff competition. It's not just Laurie. You've got Amber Dwight Thorne. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And Daniel J. Layton, who's been hosting a few movie-themed quizzes himself. So he might have all the answers.
Yeah, I think he might be. And he's, you know, they've both said that they're quite competitive. And actually, Daniel's also a wrestling fan as well. He's got a little Money in the Bank briefcase behind him. So, but anyway, we'll talk a bit more about that in the outro portion of this podcast, because there were a couple of big debuts. Two ex-WWE stars made their debut on this week's Dynamite. And we'll get into that all in the main show. Here it is.
He was released by WWE in mid-April, and after 3 months of sort of, you know, working out, it seems, and eating all the protein powder, because my word, is he looking in good shape. He turned up for AEW on last night's episode of Dynamite, coming to Cody Rhodes' savior, to rescue. I should have said rescue. I'm Ollie Davis. This is Luke Owen. Welcome to the AEW Dynamite review, where we're opening with this news that Matt Cardona, as we're now going to call him, is officially in AEW after being teased for just ever, really. Cody has been very public about how he wants his very good friend in real life, Zack Ryder, to come and join him in AEW. And now he's here. And it was just kind of like a bit in the middle of the show.
Yeah, so this was following the Cody Warhorse match. I think that the Warhorse thing was a really nice red herring, because it was Warhorse. No one was talking about like a potential ex-WWE guy showing up to answer the call or anything. And I think, you know, a lot of the chat was around, will AEW sign Warhorse? So I think bringing Matt Cardona into this point here was be like, oh God, actually, yeah, I didn't think of doing that. I didn't think they were going to do that at this point. So I thought it was actually a very clever red herring on AEW's part. With that said, I think if we're going to put sort of a money on the table of what we think is next, I think it's going to be Cody versus Matt for the TNT title at All Out. I think Cody will likely win, and I worry that Matt will just become another Shawn Spears.
Yeah. The Shawn Spears is the sort of specter of, you know, people who have gone from WWE to AEW, and sort of in WWE, there's all this potential of being a really talented, over with a portion of the audience wrestler who's not really booked to the extent of their abilities, but it's a big pond there to this smaller pond where I would argue that maybe not the level of talent overall is better than WWE, but certainly the way they are presented. And then when everyone's being booked to a very good degree, you kind of need to stand out a bit more. And I think, you know, Shawn Spears, as great as he is, he's not on the level of a lot of the other guys on the roster. And I don't know how much of that is because of the WWE fallout. We haven't seen it with FTR. We haven't seen it with The Revival. They have really established themselves as a top act in this tag division. But with Shawn Spears, Luther might be another one. I just kind of... But Zack Ryder, now Matt Cardona. It's going to be tough to shake that, like, you know, a decade of being told that he is a jobber.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Before I do, there was a comment I just wanted to bring up here, which was, Ollie, please fix your hair. Your Superman curl is madly distracting.
Don't you like it? It's a hot day here, and I can touch the fan. I'm touching the fan. And look at it. It's like the last strand of hair is trying to escape from my head.
I think you're actually right. Like, if this was Zack Ryder jumping to the competition, like this was Zack Ryder jumping to TNA in 2010, 2011, when like Z True Long Island Story was at its hottest, then I think that's probably why the Revival FTR still feel like they've sort of established themselves as a top act, because they're still riding their wave of like internet popularity, of the internet being like, man, what a madly underutilized team in WWE, what idiots they were for letting them go. Zack Ryder, on the other hand, Matt Cardona, has unfortunately been, as you say, been treated like a joke. I mean, not even like after Z True Long Island Story while Z True Long Island Story was becoming a big internet sensation. They were still treating him like a joke because they didn't like him. They didn't like the fact that he got over and so punished him for doing so. So he's been treated like a joke, you know, for 12, 15 years.
It's really sad because it's not Zack Ryder's fault that the most over he's ever been in his career, when he was arguably in his prime, I don't know how old he is now, but if he's a similar age to Cody, it'll be, I'm just trying to Google this, he's 35, you know, that's...
Ooh, same age as me.
Yeah, so he's not in like the early, but you know, when he was getting over, he was in his early 20s, which is quite an exciting time to have a new talent. But he's not, he's essentially in a veteran part of his career now, but he hasn't got all of that good body of work beforehand outside of the internet show to sort of carry him through now. So it is such a shame that that WWE has booked him into this position even when he leaves WWE. And I think AEW know this, and I think they've been very smart, because this wasn't a big show closing angle where Matt Cardona runs in to save Cody. Wow, look, Cody's here. Because we did that with Jake Hager on the first episode, and I still argue that that wasn't good. It really
I think now we know why it didn't feel that good, is because it was supposed to be Gallows and Anderson.
Yes.
Like, you know, which they've said in their Talking Shop podcast, it was supposed to be them. They were supposed to be the big episode one debut, which has been why, like, you know, Jack Swagger didn't quite feel as big time as Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah. I think AEW know that this isn't a big deal, really, that Matt Cardona is unfortunately not past it, but he has. He's got loads of baggage. Yeah, like it was hard, it seemed, for the AEW audience to accept the Revival as a decent tag team from the offset. But that's thankfully changed very quickly. But with Cardona, you know, he's not got like this great body of work where I can point to this match or that match and say, man, that was a 5-star classic, or even like 4.5. So it's, this is a very in-ring work-based company. And I'm not writing them off because, you know, I really, really like the guy. I was obsessed with the True Long Island Story. I had the T-shirt. I had the coat, brush your hair. Now I can't remember any of the catchphrases. This is why I lose at Quizzlemania. My long-term memory is no good. Thanks.
Well, it was also 10 years ago, and WWE did have something that was quite potentially hot that the crowd wanted and were like, nope, you're not having that whatsoever. They had a show in Long Island and didn't book him on that show at the height of his popularity.
Yeah, it's a real, real shame for Zach, or Matt, rather. I'm going to have to get used to this for a bit.
Yeah.
So what might they do with Cardona now that he's here, in an effort to shake off that baggage? You reckon... what, he turns on Cody? Is this like a respectful feud?
I think you could turn him here. Like, I mean, it does have the shades of the Shawn Spears feud from last year, which is that Spears came into the company, he was Cody's mate, this, that, and the other, and then he does the big heel turn, and then they have a match at All Out. But, like, yeah, and so there will be shades of that, but I still think you can do it with Cardona as well. And he does the heel turn next week on Cody, you build to their match at All Out, and completely repackage him, try something new, because, you know, he's been babyface forever, so you come in fresh coat of paint, why not try something new?
Yeah, and I think of all the people, Cody is going to be so motivated to get Cardona over because they're very good friends in real life. And look, Cody puts over people he doesn't even know. He's like pathologically obsessed with making the other guy look amazing in the ring. I agree with you, though. Cardona should not be taking the title off of Cody. I've got another suggestion.
Maybe he could. Maybe he could. Maybe he's... I mean, I wonder if Cody's learned his lesson from not putting Shawn Spears over at All Out, which I still think was the wrong call. That, you know, maybe he's going to put Matt over at All Out and give him the title.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. But is Cardona someone you want to... put over at the expense of Cody and the TNT Championship, because it's not just Cody you'll be affecting there. Unless Cardona is like this incredible run in the next 4 weeks, this is your TNT Championship. It's a new belt. Right. You want to protect that lineage in the offset. You want those big title reigns. So here's my other one. I think you're right. I think, you know, they could just work on the brotherly feud of respect. That's another way to take it, but it is kind of more of the same for Ryder. So yeah, I think a heel turn would be the most intriguing there. But what about Cardona going into a feud with the Dark Order, who have their tentacles everywhere on AEW at the moment? I love it, because there's this resentment with the Vince McMahon style character.
Mm-hmm. And they're facing Dark Order, and they're facing Dark Order next week. So if you are going to put Ryder into that group, then yeah, like next week makes sense. And you're right, you got that sort of the, he's not a Vince McMahon character though, Ollie Davis. Like, sorry. I think it's been made abundantly clear at this point, it's not a Vince McMahon parody.
You're totally right. I don't know what came out of my mouth there. It's a Mafia Don personality. Exactly. I watched all of Netflix's New York Mafia documentary.
Is it good?
It's, you know what? Nothing's as good as Tiger King now. Because they had so much footage of Tiger King happening in real time. The watching any, I haven't been able to watch other documentary series since, really, but it's interesting. They do spend a lot of time on the law enforcement side, though, when I'm just like, tell me more about the prostitution and the racketeering. I want the bad guy stuff. But yeah, I think there's a story to be told with Cardona embodying the fan base's rage against a lot of people being let go by the other company in the pandemic, which Brody Lee and the Dark Order could be a proxy for. But I also understand why you would not want to go that route.
Yeah. Before we get into the super chats, though, I think it's probably worth us talking about the other ex-WWE star that debuted on this show.
So I don't know who you're talking about here.
I didn't think you did. Dude. Do you know, who's Nyla Rose's tag partner?
Oh, Cameron.
Dude, the only reason I bring it up is like someone sent us a message on Twitter being like, I really think Cameron's the bigger draw here. So I thought we might want to talk about, right, you know, the former Cameron, Ariana Andrews, coming into AEW.
So wasn't she on another show, though? Was she not in a big battle royal at All Out? It's a Dynamite debut, isn't it? Not an AEW debut?
I don't know. Was she in the Battle Royal?
I can't remember now. you start doing super chats. I'll have a look. I just want to watch the Stone Cold Steve Austin GIF, though.
I was going to say.
Can't talk about that again.
I was going to say, the reason why, like, I mean, I don't want to be... You remember when, like, you said that Alicia Fox isn't very good and you really upset the Alicia Fox fans?
She's not good.
I don't want to be that person that gets the wrath of the Cameron fans, because I imagine that they are out there. But Cameron is responsible for one of my favorite moments in wrestling history, where live on an episode of Raw, she tried to pin someone that was face down on the mat and then argued with the referee.
No, I must have got it wrong. I thought I heard that on commentary, but no, there's nothing on her Wikipedia page, at least.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's not... She's been wrestling on the indies in the interim, because on here it says 2016 was when she finished up wrestling. We'll talk about AEW and the women's division, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, you got more spicy hot takes than that, have you?
No, it's just the continued spicy take. It's the same spicy take.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
Right, anyway, so let's see what you've got to say about this in the Super Chat. Once again, we've got very sensible fonts in the Super Chat. You love to see it. Nothing worse than dry chicken says, I would imagine that Sean Spears and Zack Ryder are so busy outside AEW, they don't want to be nothing more than good mid-carders.
Are Sean Spears and Ryder really busy outside of wrestling?
Well, Zack Ryder's got his own podcast, a very successful podcast as well.
Yeah, but AEW doesn't have a house show circuit. No one does at the moment. It's fortnightly tapings for a couple of days. I don't think any wrestler is going, oh, I just want to be a mid-carder, especially after being in WWE like that.
Look at Miro, though. Miro's just said he's not done, which, by the way, I think is a huge work.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him at Bound for Glory.
Yeah, I was going to... Dave Hando, my first Super Chat, just wanted to say hi to the boys and thank them for all the work they've done over the COVID period. I'm looking forward to Matt Cardona in AEW.
Definitely intrigued. And I really, really want the best for the guy. He seems like a genuinely lovely bloke. He's been dealt such a terrible hand with how he was treated when he genuinely got it. He got over in the early days of like the internet wrestling fandom all by himself. That is incredible.
Like it's amazing.
I can't believe how he did it.
And this was a period of time as well where WWE could not get people over when they were trying. Like then they were actively trying to get people over and could not do it. And so Zach went out and just did it on his own. And WWE punished him for doing so.
Mm.
So frustrating.
Cody said in the interview last year when he said he wanted Zack Ryder more than anyone from the WWE roster on AEW. He said, anyone who gets himself over like that can do it again. Mm. And, you know, I really, really hope that's the case. For me as a fan right now, or if I was watching as a casual with no knowledge of any of this, I would just go, oh, that's Zack Ryder. But hey, he looked in great shape. We didn't talk about how good he looked.
Apparently, Spears has a wrestling school. Oh, of course Spears has a wrestling school. He's got one with Tyler Breeze.
Quite a lot of people have wrestling schools. I don't think they'll be going, oof, mid-card's fine for me, thanks.
I was going to say, Team 3D had a wrestling school and were like the top tag team in Impact for and New Japan as well. Gabriel Caruso says, I think Matt Cardona will have a show on the Travel Channel reviewing toys one day. He is the Guy Fieri of wrestling, and Guy Fieri is entertaining as hell. Let's see what happens with his character with creative control. Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Gabriel. I think we all do. Everyone wants the best for Cardona. Yeah. And there's also, did you miss the Fermentado one?
I did. I do apologize, which is El Fermentado says, I think Cody will turn heel on Matt Cardona. So we're here talking about Matt doing the heel turn. Could be Cody that does it.
That's not a bad idea, actually. Maybe that's the... I mean, the problem there is Cardona. Cardona is the one who needs the gimmick change. But if the larger plan here is to turn Cody heel, which he really is going in that direction, and make that Four Horsemen lineup, then yeah, that could be a way around it.
Absolutely.
Before we get on with the full play-by-play review of AEW, of course, keep getting in your super chats, because we will read out every single one of them. There should be a little link in the pinned comments. It's over there. That should be pinned comment right there, because it's promoting Cinemania tomorrow. We announced this yesterday in Quizzlemania, where... After this was meant to happen a while ago, but you know, the world started to end. So we're doing it now. As of tomorrow, we will be making content for Cineworld's YouTube channel. Cineworld being one of the biggest cinema chains on the planet. And we're really happy. We're actually over the moon with this. I love movies. I studied film at university. So did Luke. Adam just obsessively goes to the cinema. Laurie loves film.
Adam was in Kick-Ass.
I didn't know this.
Neither did I until yesterday.
Is he just an extra?
Yeah, he's an extra. Yeah, our Patreon exclusive Wrestle Talk After Dark podcast, where we do a lot of swears and stuff, and Laurie drops a hell of a lot of C-bombs. We were talking about...
This is what happens when I don't do that show. It's like a license to cuss.
We were talking about acting careers, and Adam said, like, yeah, I was in Kick-Ass. And we even found the scene that he's in. And it's just this little scrawny, pale lad.
But yeah, we are doing Cinemania tomorrow at 3 o'clock UK time. So it's a bit earlier than usual, folks. But it's exactly like Quizzlemania, but just with movies. I'm not competing, although I think I could win this one. I am in the chat, so I'll be sort of moderating and talking to people. But yeah, Adam's hosting, Laurie and Luke are competing, and we have Daniel... Oh, no, I haven't got the names to hand.
Oh, no.
I've got Amber Dogthorn and Daniel J. Layton also competing, who are genuine influencers.
Mm-hmm.
They're real people.
And you can see how serious I'm taking this, because I'm not doing my usual thumbnail face.
Can you give the thumbnail face for everyone? There it is.
It's on this thumbnail.
Shall we try and recreate the thumbnail right now in Vision?
Oh, you mean?
There you go. Should we start doing 3-second photography poses in the middle of the podcast? Right. So, yes, please do go over there and set a reminder for the event. The link should be somewhere. Oh.
Yep, and just before we get out of here, tomorrow's guest on the magazine show, it's me and a Russian star, Xenia, and we're going to be talking about whatever is in the Observer News.
I like that, Luke. Bring that Luke back on the image.
This one?
How have you gotten so smiley? That doesn't look like you.
That was a photo. I'm stood next to you in the original photo. It was, you know, backstage of the WrestleGate show, the last one we went to.
No way.
And we had to go, we had to do those photos together for, I can't remember why we did them, but like you and I were just doing lots of posing and stuff.
Always good.
And
glamour shots.
So I basically cropped you out and put someone a lot prettier in.
It's a definite improvement on the image. But yes, yeah, stay tuned for that tomorrow. We might have a little bonus show as well going up on Wrestle Talk Clips with me to talk about the quarterly earnings. It's today.
Q2.
Oh, I'm so excited about what excuse they're going to use. I reckon they'll admit. I reckon they'll say, yeah, no. We're in a bad state right now. And here's the thing. What else can they blame it on?
COVID.
Yeah, but we'll see.
And also, like, the last time I was chatting with Brandon from WrestleNomics about this, WWE have saved so much money during this period, not just by getting rid of a load of people. They're not paying anyone to travel. They're not paying anyone. They're not renting out arenas. They're not shipping equipment everywhere. They've got literally no overheads for filming TV at the moment. So they're saving a load of money week to week.
Yeah, definitely. But yes, we got loads of content going up tomorrow, in short. But of all of them, please do go over to Cineworld's YouTube channel, click the subscribe button, and join us over there at 3 o'clock UK time. But right now, let's do AEW Dynamite. This episode kicked off with the Inner Circle versus Jurassic Best Friends match. So a huge 10-man tag. One of the more anticipated matches on the show. Unfortunately, it wasn't... It just never really got there, did it?
I think outside of the tag title match, I don't think many of the matches really delivered on this episode. Like, I thought that this match was good. The Cody Warhorse match was good. The main event was good. But I thought the Dark Order Omega Hangman page was awesome. But like, it was this match I was really stoked for, but it didn't really... Everyone did their big moves. Everyone did some big dives and stuff. And Luchasaurus got the win. Matt Hardy interfered at the end. So it turns out the regular Matt Hardy does have a problem with Sammy Guevara. Like, I thought that was the story, that that he didn't have a problem. Turns out he does. And it was, you know, it was good. It was good.
Yeah. And unfortunately, AEW have set themselves such high standards. Like, the episode last week was one of the best episodes of all time. Of Dynamite's run so far. And before then, they had the 3 mini pay-per-view events as well, the TV specials. So just this, like, excellent run of television. And this was a really, really good card on paper. And, you know, it's not like it was a bad episode. This was just an average episode. But it still had, you know, Zack Ryder debuting, had this excellent Dark Order angle with Omega and Paige. It had Cameron, people. It had... What I think outside of the Omega Moxley match, the most hardcore spot in Dynamite's or AEW history as well, which was the sort of final spot where Darby Allin, using a skateboard with thumbtacks underneath, ground it with a stomp onto Ricky Starks's back off the top rope.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Absolutely, it was nuts.
But still, it was unfortunately, I was a bit underwhelmed overall. And I don't know if that's on me or if that's AEW's fault for being so bloody brilliant for a month.
Yeah. But yeah, as I said, like, I thought this as a 10-man tag, it was fun. I did have a good time with it, but it wasn't like the big blowaway match I was kind of hoping it would be. And like, AEW are very high still on this Jericho Cassidy feud, which I think is really Jericho is like pushing this forward, is like he's the guy that, you know, he really wants to work with Cassidy at the moment, because we also got a segment with them later on. They've announced like 2 weeks worth of segments with Jericho and Cassidy, so they're still very high on pushing this, and they still think that it is going to be the ratings draw. I almost feel like Jericho wants to prove a point that it can be a ratings draw, because they did get beat by NXT when they had it on.
Yeah, Jericho's a genius, but even geniuses are going to misfire occasionally. And the thing is, on paper, and I think this is probably why Tony Khan has signed off on it for what seems like 2 months now of a program, is Orange Cassidy was getting crazy high numbers in his segments. Jericho is one of the most consistently high-drawing acts on AEW 2. Put them together makes total sense. They had their match. That was good. It was really good, actually. But that was kind of the blow-off there. Orange Cassidy, like I've said before, is a gimmick that is always in danger of jumping the shark. And I felt like when you did the Jericho match, now you got to pull back from him for a couple of months, especially when there's no crowd to sort of do all the reactions to his low effort spots as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like when he was in there doing the low effort super kicks on Hager and the crowd on the outside weren't going along with it. Oh, like it misses that. Like he does need that live crowd in there to really like, you know, his match with Pac at Revolution would not have been the same match with in this sort of like empty era, COVID era of AEW. It wouldn't have been the same.
Yeah, I think we're in danger of Orange Cassidy's joke getting old. And that's what I was worried about a couple of weeks ago. Especially
with Jericho's point.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's just trying to bury him. Got a WWE tactic. We'll talk about a few criticisms of the episode overall, because aside from this match, which I thought was the most underwhelming thing, there were two strains, and that is I thought the crowd atmosphere was quite lacking compared to normal. It sounded quiet. And the other thing is JR on commentary.
Oh, God, salty JR tonight. Here's me. I'm speculating. This is Speculation Station pulling toot-toot, Speculation Station. I think JR was saying all throughout the day, there needs to be two refs for this 10-man tag. Like, I think for this match to make sense, there needs to be two referees. And someone said no, and so he just decided to bury everything on the show.
Yeah.
Like, that's just my theory, because like he wouldn't shut up about those two refs. And like later on, they announced a 12-man tag. It's like, well, there better be two refs in that match.
I think that dynamic works if he's color, but he wasn't. Because Excalibur was off, he had to be play-by-play. And I love JR. I grew up with JR's voice in my head. When I think of commentating, it's JR in there. Like, he's still doing the play-by-play on everything for me. But that was a long, long time ago. And now he's a color commentator guy. He just can't. He's too grumpy for some reason. He just decided to go down the grumpy path at one point in his career, which is great to create that tension on the commentary team with other players, but it's not to be the lead guy. Excalibur, you know, they haven't issued a statement as why he was missing, but around the same time, those clips resurfaced of an angle he shot over 15 years ago where he used the N-word, which is what it is. So it would be a shame for Excalibur to not return, as I think I really missed him on this show.
Yeah, and as much as I loved Taz, I really enjoyed Taz on commentary, then the voice I was missing the most on this show was Excalibur. Like, I think Excalibur would have been really, really key to getting that Cody Warhorse match over.
Yeah. Taz did a good job, I thought. I thought he really got it. Let's talk about that, actually, because we got a really good John Moxley promo talking about the Tornado Tag main event. Cuts back to the commentary team, and Taz is like, he's terrified. He's terrified of Brian Cage. But then we did get Warhorse versus Cody Rhodes. Warhorse billed as weighing 4,000 pounds of raw heavy metal and is here to rule ass.
Oh, he rules ass, does Warhorse. I actually, like, yesterday I had a little bit of time, so I watched like some Warhorse promos, and it was, I mean, if you didn't see the show or you don't know who Warhorse is, like, I'm not massively familiar with his work. He reminds me a bit of, this might be quite an obscure reference, but there was a band I was massively into when I was at university called Arno Corpse, who were a heavy metal band who all of their songs were based on Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. That, like, it was Total Recall, it was Commando. But their backstory was, because I was actually part of their forums and everything, I used to speak to them. Their backstory is that they're not based on Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. They're based on the stories that they were told as youth of these mythical creatures. So these are just like they're mythical stories that have been told to them throughout their childhood, and they're now singing these songs about them. They don't know what an Arnie is or who an Arnold Schwarzenegger is. And Warhorse is a little bit like this because he is an Ultimate Warrior. He's an Ultimate Warrior parody, but he does not know who the Ultimate Warrior is.
I love that. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
What did you think of Warhorse in this match? Because I liked him. I think he's got something. I liked his act.
Do you know what he has got? He has got solid fundamentals. Like, he does things, and he does things really smoothly, but it's elevated because, boy howdy, he's dripping in charisma. Because he's got this massive character. It's like the Ultimate Warrior, really. Ultimate Warrior was so limited in the ring, but got massively over because he was this larger-than-life character. And that's what Warhorse does. Like, Warhorse has made a name for himself on Twitter and, you know, on Instagram and on YouTube and stuff by being this huge character, weighing 4,000 pounds of pure heavy metal. And it makes his wrestling feel even better because he's doing solid fundamentals, but they feel way better because he's also so charismatic.
Yeah, I thought his facials are a big part of that too. I felt the story, but ultimately, as it should be, Cody beat him pretty easily, to be honest. I like what they're doing with Cody now. I was concerned every match was going to be Cody putting someone over in defeat in this 20-minute toe-to-toe battle, which sort of undermines when you do get a genuine threat when you go 20 minutes. So this was after Sunny Kiss and the really, really good match with Eddie Kingston last week, which I think is one of the better matches in the run so far. This was just a standard 10-minute, pretty decisive win for Cody, made him tap in the figure four.
But it was still full of the character work that they've been doing with Cody. And it was all, you know, subtle stuff, which is, and he's been talking about this on Twitter as well, if you're following him there, which is that he didn't take this match seriously. And he wasn't taking Warhorse seriously. He was constantly burying him online. He was kind of burying him in the match, not taking it seriously. Arn Anderson's there trying to get him to take this seriously. And Cody was then getting frustrated because he didn't take it seriously and then was being shown up. So he comes at this all more vicious style of Cody. So although you're right, it was a more dominant victory than he has had in the past, I think it was completely the right call, but they kept up with that character work.
Definitely. And it's not just viciousness. Like you said, it is the arrogance. He did the press-up spot here. It was in the picture-in-picture ad break, but he did press-ups after he went for a pin. That is straight out of Ring of Honor heel Cody, or New Japan heel Cody. So he's definitely going back to that well, and I'm excited for it. Then the Dark Order ran down. It was just no-name ones, 5 and 6, I think.
And it was Reynolds and Silver, because 5 and 10 are in the 12th in the show. So it was Reynolds and Silver.
And they beat up Cody. That's what brought down Cardona. They'll all have a match next week. Then we got the Inner Circle promo where Jericho laid out the next 2 weeks of Orange Cassidy segments, the match in 2 weeks' time, but a special debate with a very high-profile moderator next week.
I hope it's Lance Storm. I hope it's Lance Storm. That's kind of like my fantasy booking of this, of like, can I be serious for a moment, Lance Storm? Because Lance doing that with Cassidy would be very, very funny.
Oh, you've nailed it. Because he tweeted last weekend, I think, first time in 35 years or whatever that I've been unemployed or like, you know, not working, because he was a producer with WWE, but he was one of the releases. And it seems like that was confirmed recently. Oh, I love that idea. I've heard Larry King's name being thrown out there.
Oh, really? Bloody hell.
Or Mike Tyson. I don't think Mike Tyson would work, though. Just storyline-wise, why would he come in to do this for Jericho? Doesn't make sense. But yeah, okay. I'm sold on Lance Storm now, though.
I hope it is.
An excellent segment with FTR signing their AEW contracts. So this was done earlier in the day, and they're sitting down in a room with Tony Schiavone and some AEW lawyer people, and they're like, we need a tag team specialist to go over this contract. In comes Arn Anderson. Mwah.
So great. And it adds more fuel to that Four Horsemen fire that Arn Anderson looked like he was almost managing FTR at this point and kind of like advising them on this. You pepper that with Tully Blanchard and Sean Spears watching their matches. it's really, really interesting. I'm really digging all of this stuff at the moment.
Yeah, and they went through various points like tag rope and all the minutiae. I loved it. And then Hangman Page walks in to celebrate with them all, pours them all whiskeys, pours himself a massive one. They knock him back. How cool's that?
Yeah, it was really cool. I like the fact that Hangman poured himself a massive glass of whiskey, then couldn't drink all of it. It was like, I poured a bit too much there.
It's so, like, it's just such good storytelling. And it's so subtle as well, this like friendship between FTR and Hangman Page, but not with Omega. And it's like stunningly simple. These guys like beer. This guy doesn't like beer. But that's the very superficial top part of this story. There's a lot more raging beneath. And it's like, what's so amazing is this isn't a story that's told through dialogue and scenes in a movie. This has all been told through non-verbal physical action. And that blows my mind that you can have that level of comprehension over everyone's character dynamics and what's motivating them purely through physical storytelling. Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely loved it. The other thing, actually, I meant to mention this to you as well, because you mentioned it earlier that you thought the crowd was a bit quiet in the match. And like the next match that we had, which was Dark Order versus Page and Omega for the tag titles, one of my notes was just like, this would have been so much better with a crowd, because like they could have popped for the near falls and stuff. Because I thought these two teams worked together amazingly. I thought they put out a really, really good match as well. But I saw this on Twitter last week, or a couple of weeks ago. Excuse me. We've nearly had as many episodes of Dynamite in the COVID era as we have of the Arena era.
No.
Well, yeah, because that was October through to March was like the, you know, Arena era Dynamite. And we're now March into August of COVID era.
That's insane.
Right? That blew my mind.
Oh no! It's like when you go, Kurt Angle spent more time in TNA than he did.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. Oh no! Well, okay, that is quite something.
Yeah,
it's amazing that they're still going from strength to strength. Then, God, imagine where this company would be if they had a crowd there too. I bet they'll be going. They'd be doing house show circuits. That was in the plans. We would have got a London pay per view.
We would have done. They'd have been over here, gutted, absolutely gutted.
Yeah, I love this company. I really, really do. I don't even care anymore. I'm not going to hide it. It's not my fault. I really, really enjoy this thing I've wanted for all my adult life. So speaking of adult life, Hangman Page turned 29 at the weekend.
He's a young boy.
Oh, and he's got the body of like a hero. we'll get past that. And so the storytelling was from the get-go here. Not only was it really, really good action in the ring, I love Stu Grayson. I've even really gotten sold on Evil Uno as well and their whole act. You've got the Dark Order outside. And then Hangman Page makes his entrance first. Kenny Omega makes his entrance because they enter separately. That's part of the whole story and the relationship between them. But Hangman Page has just gone for the Dark Order because of last week and getting sort of attacked by them. So he just goes for it. And Kenny's still doing his entrance. And he goes, whoa, 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 what the hell? And he stops doing the entrance, which is such a bugbear for other storylines when wrestlers come out. No, I must do my whole entrance in NXT first before I help anyone. But Kenny runs down there right away. And he says to Page, like, what the hell are you doing? We're defending the tag titles. Why are you rushing into this, you hothead?
Yeah, it was so, so great. And you couple that, you had Colt Cabana on commentary with Brody Lee, man. The way he was just pacing back and forth and just staring at the ring. He felt like such a presence out there. It actually made me slightly worried for Grayson and Uno not winning. I was like, oh, lads, I hope you win this because you're going to get proper scolded by this very angry man that's up on the stage.
Mm. The Colt Cabana stuff was brilliant, I thought. So he's on commentary and he's kind of saying, hey, I'm not part of the Dark Order, but the way he's talking, he's sort of defending the Dark Order and their actions in the ring. It's expertly told stuff.
talked about getting wins off the back of the Dark Order. He's just like, you know, since I've been teaming with Mr. Brody Lee, I've been getting wins. And, you know, he got that promo saying, like, this is how I'm getting on TV at the moment, is by teaming with Brody Lee. The only thing that I think was a little bit of a sort of a downside to this, and it's kind of like indicative of AEW's women's division et al, Anna Jay was with them. Anna Jay was out there and barely shown. Like, I think she got one shot to be like, oh, Anna Jay's here. And then every shot where she was like possibly seen, Brody Lee was standing in the way of her. So like it was absolutely like they recruited her, 10 weeks ago. That's obviously, you know, it's hyperbole, but it feels like it was 10 weeks ago. They've done no backstage vignettes about it. And then she just came out with them. They made no song and dance about it. And she just stood there the whole time.
Luke. What are you talking about? I'm sure they'll have something on their YouTube channel at 6 p.m. on Monday. Not even dark. Anyway, this was a really good match. Some really nice near falls. I never once thought Dark Order were going to win it, but I still reacted to some of the close pins.
Oh, yeah. I loved this match. I thought it was great.
So afterwards, of course, Omega and Paige retain. Brody cuts this furious promo on both of them. He sort of guides Colt Cabana to the back.
He sends Anna Jay to like, can you like, you know, take Colt to the back here, because he doesn't want him to see what the Dark Order really is about. And he's just like, you know, we are in more places than you think. And all of a sudden, like, it's basically like, you remember the December 18th show
that made
Tony Khan really mad? I got like echoes of that. All these, you know, like minions and creepers just appear from nowhere. And they're about to jump Omega and Paige. And then FTR run, and the Young Bucks as well, and FTR run down to make the save. And then there's just this sort of awkwardness of these three teams just standing in the ring together. And I did think, like, man, what a triple threat tag team match that is going to be. And then they announce, no, they're all teaming together next week to take on the Dark Order in this big 12-man tag. I was like, even effing better. Love it.
Well, jury's out. We need a couple more refs before I can possibly get into that match. So just before we get on with it's quite fitting. We're just going to park the women's division before we get on with that. Because someone has jumped into the live chat. What do you have to say to this?
Oh, sorry, I hit your one. What was your one? Yes. It's Sean Ross Sapp is in the chat to talk about me being a former Quizmania champion. He also had a comment for you, which was, Ollie should join the Dark Order at this point.
What, because I keep losing so much? Wouldn't that be great, though, if Brody Lee, our mate Brody Lee, came on to sort of coach me to win?
But, you know, Sean beat me on Quizmania last night. The better man did win on that. He was a better man, and I was. It was a very close fought battle, but he pipped me at the post. Well done to him.
Maybe Sean could teach me how to win.
He loves the cooler smashing gimmick of FTR, which is great. Like, they were destroying those coolers when they smash people with them.
The Sean Order. FTF. So after that, we got Britt Baker spoke to Tony Schiavone in her way and said that she's going to grant Big Swole a shot at her if she can beat an opponent of her choosing first.
It's going to be Rebel, right?
Yeah, or maybe it's another lady they'll debut and forget about. So Diamante took on Shida after this in a non-title match. Diamante didn't get an entrance. She got a bit of a vignette beforehand. It was a bit hokey, I thought.
I quite liked it.
And Diamante and Shida had a match. It was okay. And Shida won. So,
yeah, I mean, it sort of fell apart towards the end because Diamante went to do her code red, and sort of rather than sort of flip yourself onto your back, Shida sort of rolled. So they ended up just sort of rolling into the ropes, and time stood still for a while before they went to the finish. So it did fall apart to the end. I thought it was a good showing for the most part. Diamante still in her LAX gear. But it was just, this was your women's segment of the week.
Yeah. Well, all the women's stuff is jammed into one section. So, I mean, if if Tony Khan does really look at the ratings and has decided women aren't a draw, maybe he's thought, well, let's take all the losses in one quarter. So you get one 15-minute bit, it's fine. We'll get the viewers back afterwards. It's a real shame because they've got a lot of talented people there. And then they said, yeah, the women's tag team tournament, which quite a few people have said to me, well, look, AEW are putting an effort into their women's division now. They outline the rules here, and it is exciting. You know, you've got the deadly draw format.
It's deadly draw.
Yeah.
That is cool. I like that.
Where people are just randomly put together in tag teams. There's so much ample space for stories there, just conflicts, because people are thrown together as odd couple teams, and sometimes that might work, sometimes it might implode. But I am not optimistic, because it kicks off at 6 p.m. on Monday on their YouTube channel.
So you and Pete talked about this last week, but like, my overall feeling on this is that this is here for Brandy, right? Like, this is because Brandy and I know you called her Emma for a second, then Ali, they're the tag team that's in this tournament. They're the ones with the tag team storyline. And as soon as they announced like a women's tag team tournament World Cup thing, I was like, oh, right, for them. Mm. Like, because that's the only tag team story you've got going at the moment. So you have the whole tournament to kind of fulfill this storyline a little bit more. And maybe that's fine. Like, I think you can build storylines the rest of the way through. But like, I don't think that this is just like, I don't think that people can sort of hold this up and be like, ah, you see, they do care about their women's wrestling. You're wrong. They're doing loads of stuff. Because the other thing I wanted to bring up about this is the AEW action figures. We made the, you know, the comments when they first got released that there's only one female wrestler in the first two waves, which is Brandi Rhodes, right? Well, they've now released like the next, I've got it here, the next seven wave of figures. Okay, so this is the next seven waves of action figures they're releasing. Wave three, Jericho, Young Bucks, Darby Allin, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy. Wave four, Kenny Omega, Cody, Matt Hardy, Jake Hager, Mark Quinn, Isaiah Cassidy. Wave five, Chris Jericho, Brody Lee, Lance Archer, Rey Fénix, Pentagon Jr., Joey Janela. Wave six, Kenny Omega, The Young Bucks, MJF, Orange Cassidy, Scorpio Sky. Wave seven, John Moxley, Hangman Page, Pac, Sean Spears, Santana, Ortiz. We're not even at wait. Like, there's still no women wrestlers in their action figure line. Like, there's no Riho. There's no Nyla Rose. There's no Britt Baker. There's no Hikaru Shida. Like, there's none of them there.
It's damning. I think it's a damning indictment of their strategy. And it's so unfortunate, because they themselves planted that flag in the sand that women's wrestling was going to be a linchpin in their promotion. But it hasn't been.
No, it has not.
So after that, though, I thought the final part of this show was really, really strong. MJF's State of the Union address was a thing of promo mastery.
Come on. This was great. This was... There were so many brilliant moments to this, because it's like, it's 2020, the presidential campaign is in full swing. So they're doing a big presidential gimmick for MJF. He's got like an MJF 2020 badge, make wrestling great and all this sort of stuff. We deserve better. And he comes out and he's got this sort of team of PR people with him. And he's got the hand gel and stuff. And he's like rubbing his hands. There's someone at ringside holding a fake baby for him to go and kiss and pose with. And then when he kisses the baby, hands it back to the person, turns to his security guard, who hands him the hand gel, and he drinks some hand gel and hands it back to them. Goes and poses with a guy for a photo, doing like the typical presidential pose. And then he gets into the ring and, without really taking a breath, cuts one of the best promos of 2020. This was... I don't know if he's still here, but this was Sean Ross Sapp levels of great on Quizzlemania last night. This was an amazing promo.
Yeah. And it just started off seamlessly from his female aide giving him some notes, I think some papers. And he just said to her, you should smile more. You'll be prettier. Like, so it was just such a douchebag from the get-go. And he, what I found fascinating here was how he, it's such a masterpiece of a wrestling promo, because it wasn't just character-based. It wasn't just, I'm better than you, usual heel face stuff that you would expect from these two sorts of characters. Because what he essentially did is launch his bid to become the AEW world champion and defeat Jon Moxley. And he framed this all around ideological lines. He said that he represents true wrestling, and that Moxley, under Moxley's influence, so he's sort of casting the AEW world champion as a president of sorts, as leading the tone of the whole promotion. That style has trickled down and just made everything about high spots and hardcore. And MJF says, no, wrestling deserves better. Wrestling deserves me. I'm going to bring my style of wrestling here. And it's just so good because it makes MJF look awesome. It makes Jon Moxley still look awesome in a different way. But it also makes MJF such a douchebag to declare himself this bastion of wrestling when he cheats so much.
Yeah, and also, Jon Moxley won. He defeated Brian Cage with wrestling moves. Like, he has constantly shown over and over again that he's winning with wrestling moves. But MJF, in this sort of like way to kind of like confuse the masses and be like, no, he doesn't. He just uses hardcore spots. That's what you remember, not my champion. Mm. I love the line. He gets preferential treatment around here because he came from a land of titans.
Mm.
Oh, such a good line. Yeah, Moxley is not my champion. Moxley is playing as a wrestler, and that is a stone cold fact.
Oh, killer line. Killer line.
Dictator Jonathan.
Yeah. It's really, really, really strong stuff. And, you know, that the people... So not everyone's a fan of Jon Moxley and Dean Ambrose. You know, Adam's spoken about it on a few of the podcasts. I run hot and cold on him. It sort of depends what mood I am or his opponent is, like the strength of the program overall. And all of the stuff that MJF said played off of those feelings. Mm-hmm. And that... I can't. I just can't. This was brilliant. It was brilliant. And it's gone from me thinking, well, MJF is probably, it's still too soon in his career to get a world champion shot at All Out, because that's what it feels like it's building to. Certainly not a win. This promo was so strong, I'm now going, is it too early for MJF to be the world champion?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm kind of in agreement with you. Like, because he made a, you know, it's a challenge for All Out, which is not that long away. You know, it's what, September 5th? So we've got a month. Oh, man, this feud has already got off to a great start. And it's also been like, it's a start, but it's also been building separately for months, because MJF has been on this trail of being like, I've been ranked number one for ages. I'm undefeated in AEW, but I'm never getting my title shot. Meanwhile, you've got Mox against Cage and doing wrestling and doing all of this sort of stuff. And now these two paths are going to collide. That's really, really great. I'm loving it.
Mm. We should also mention that it was Nyla Rose who got paired with Cameron. Mm-hmm. Where's that in my notes?
It was after the women's... It was after Diamante Shida. Nyla Rose and Vicky had a backstage. And that's where we got the Cameron debut.
My only notes here are Nyla teamed with who? I haven't followed that up with. Yeah, so there you go. And the main event was really, really fun stuff. Alan and Mox versus Brian Cage and Ricky Starks, complete with Starks. A Taz promo beforehand, where Taz was just going, look at the pistons. His traps are like pistons.
It's like a video game, Cole. I thought Starks had a really good promo as well. I thought this was good character work from Starks. I loved as well that they built this whole thing that Darby was not going to be able to be in this match after Ricky Starks took him out last week, you know, shoving him into the ropes and that with the skateboard. And so, like, they played his music, didn't come out. Moxley comes out and, you know, he's on his own. The commentator's like, oh my God, he's on his own. Brian Cage and Ricky Starks have been like, he's on his own. What a div. Taz, like, what an absolute knob. We're going to completely destroy this guy. Starks and Cage walk out. Darby Allin does the coffin drop off the top of the entrance ramp thing, and Taz on commentary goes, "Oh man, it was a trap."
Taz is really coming into his own. Well, not coming into his own. He was brilliant from day one, actually.
He was wonderful on commentary. I thought he was so good in this match.
For a moment, I thought they were going to riff off of the previous match, the previous tag match, where Moxley was beaten up. Remember? And Allin had to wrestle the whole tag match by himself, give himself the hot tag. And I thought Moxley was going to have to do that, but that they did. This was also very good. And they had a real, pretty hardcore match. Tornado tag rules, trash cans came out, and the big spot that we've already spoken about was this excellent finish where Cage is going to try and stop Allin using the thumbtacked skateboard on Starks, but Moxley slides along the apron, catches Cage's arm, and yanks back into the armbar as Allin gets the win. Ah, brilliant stuff.
Yeah, loved it. And then they announced right at the end of the show that Tony Khan, off the back of that performance, signed a match. It's going to be Darby Allin versus Moxley for the title next week. Darby is ranked number, I think he's ranked fifth at the moment. So they put it over as just like a Tony Khan made this decision off the back of this performance.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's exciting. That's a really good thing to put in at the end there. I don't think that's hot shot booking or anything, or Championship Monday to pop a rating. I think that is generally just exciting, solid storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought this was a overall, like, there were some really good spots in this, like really good moments. I thought the Dark Order tag match with Omega and Page was great, and I'm loving that storyline. And MJF's promo was awesome, and the main event was fun. But like we said at the start of this, I thought it was an average episode of the show. Like, I thought it was okay. It was pretty good. But like, I think with AEW, their average shows are still better than a lot. And it was a really good 2 hours worth of TV. And I very much enjoyed myself.
Yeah, 3 out of 5 AEW Dynamite might be a 5 out of 5 elsewhere. A ton of super chats to do, and we've already overrun quite a lot, so we'll speed through them. We haven't got any Patreon shout outs today, so join the Luke Order.
Hello.
They ask, who do you guys think the moderator for the Jericho Cassidy debate should be? Anyone Jericho knows in the past? I wonder. Hashtag join the Luke Order. Hashtag Luke Owen is still my champion.
Thanks, mate. I've put my stamp down for Lance Storm. I mean, he's friends with Jericho as well. And I think that having Lance Storm as a producer backstage, like, he's a great get, because what an absolute great mind for wrestling and a really great trainer as well.
I'd urge Lance to take a position. Urge. Miguel 8A, I love the Warhorse versus Cody match. Happy to see him on TV. Sad they took the spotlight off him for the Ryder debut.
It was interesting that Warhorse has gotten himself over on Twitter, and they instead brought out a guy who got himself on Twitter 10 years ago as the big debut for the night. Interesting.
Hmm. Spencer O, Cantankerous JR brought this show down by a whole star for me. It felt like watching wrestling with a friend who actively hates wrestling.
I think JR was told no, and you got in a very bad mood.
Nothing worse than dried chicken. Sean has a wrestling school. Yes, I think we mentioned that earlier. The Zornice, I missed Excalibur. I hope he's back soon. Love you. Love you too, Zornice. And yeah, we agree. Chris Blass, hey guys, how are both of you today? Do you think that Cody will turn heel once he loses to someone for the TNT Championship? And if he does, I think it should be an All Out. What do you think? I think he should turn heel with the belt. I think a heel Cody with the title, that's where the money is, as opposed to him turning heel after losing.
Yeah, completely agree.
James Hanley, fun fact, the last time we had two women's matches on the same card was Double or Nothing, and the tournament is so important that it's just starting on a random Monday. Can't even get a dark match.
Random Monday.
Yeah. Chris Petrou, hello mates. I predicted that Cardona would debut in AEW by accepting Cody's TNT Open Challenge in surprise. Would it have been a better debut?
No, I to be honest, I prefer it. I personally, I kind of preferred it this way, as I said, because I thought Warhorse was such a good red herring that it didn't feel like tonight was going to be a night where one of the ex-WWE guys would debut. So I thought they kind of caught me. They completely caught me off guard. Whether that's just me being stupid and naive, but I thought it works.
I think both have merits, but yeah, I long term, I think this was probably the better way to do it.
Hmm. Yeah. Wrestling. Oh, I didn't drop a pen. Wrestling miscellaneous. Nothing worse than dry chicken says, do you think that Rusev is really finished with wrestling, or do you think he's hanging around Twitch until the crowds come back? Stay safe. Sunglasses emoji.
I think it's exactly what you just said. Yeah.
Yeah. Bobby Stevens, Eric Bischoff as the moderator.
Oh, that would be a big get. Didn't Eric Bischoff and Tony Khan consolidate recently?
They did, yeah. So,
maybe.
Hey, man. Do you know what? Actually, that's a really good shout, Bobby. That's a really, really good shout.
Only if he's dressed as a vicar, though, and he can reveal himself at the end.
Amory Finch messed up the first Super Chat, but wanted to know your thoughts on why Ziggler isn't recognized as a Grand Slam champ, even though he's held all the singles and tag titles. Keep up the good work. I would love you to go onto Twitter and ask Adam Blompier that question.
Probably because he hasn't held the universe. I don't know.
No, it's basically, so the reason I said that is because on Quizzlemania, they did a Grand Slam Champions thing. And I said Dolph Ziggler and Adam said no. And people got quite hot about it. This is when people liked me on Quizzlemania. Mm. And the reasoning before it is that he is a Grand Slam champion, but across two different rule sets, because the rules changed when the Universal title came in. So he does need to win the Universal title to become a Grand Slam champion, which is never going to happen. Josh Santos, not every WWE guys needs to have a push when they come in. Let Matt be a backup to Cody since the Elite is splitting up. Build a character that way.
Yeah, I think that's doable. I personally would have preferred that with Sean Spears and FTR, though. You know, maybe Cardona will work.
Kanji Letters, I believe that might be. If you had to recast the movie Shaun of the Dead with employees from WrestleTalk, who would you cast for each main character? MJF for champion. You've already got the Sean little flick up, so clearly you should be in that role, which means I'd have to be Ed.
Yeah, but then Ed's a bit mean all the time. Ed seems Laurie.
Oh yeah, Laurie is a bit more of an Ed, isn't he?
Who would you be? You'd be maybe Lucy Davis's character.
I'm gonna say I'm not the bloody boyfriend, am I? He's a right knob.
No. Oh, that's a good question. We'll come back to you on that. That's going to require too much time and thought. Michael Dominguez. Oh, sorry. You're doing the super chats.
So, it's okay, mate. I don't mind. Michael Dominguez. My eye surgery went well. Still hazy. Heart emoticon. WrestleTalk family. Thank you, mate. Hope you are well.
I'm happy for you.
And he gives a shout out to the WrestleTalk OGs, Jobber, Tomo, and Dan. Hashtag support each other.
They got their own little faction.
Yeah, they're the WrestleTalk OGs. Jeffrey Pridemore, haven't been able to catch you guys live in months. Thank you for always producing great content. You guys are awesome. Here's my money.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Dave Hando, I'm so over WWE at the moment. They do the same thing over and over again. Nothing changes. Even NXT has gone the same way other than Keith Lee finally winning. They're looking for new writers, by all accounts. NXT, they're hiring for a new writer.
Yeah, I think NXT does have a WWE taint to it, which is, I mean, you know, I watch more AEW, but when I check the sort of Reddit comments and just the general engagement, it's AEW by a multiples margin.
Mm-hmm. And I think Brian and Vinny said this on an episode recently where they talked about how like all the stuff they're praising AEW for now is the same praise they were giving to the same things they were praising NXT for last year, but NXT's just not doing those shows anymore.
Yeah.
Amaril Finch, thank you very much for your donation. Tay Boogie says, it sucks that NXT had two women's matches throughout the show, but AEW only has one 5 to 8 minute match smashed between two other women promos. Totally agree.
Yeah. In that regard, NXT are massively beating AEW.
It's not even the same competition. King Rasta, aka Kairi Sane's current boyfriend. Yo, guys, support WrestleTalk. Hashtag wear a damn mask. Hashtag I'm talking to you, Florida.
It's like a lucha mask. Just think of it as a lucha mask.
Masks are good. I've got mine right here.
Ooh.
I might even wear my mask. Yeah, hold on. Mike D, it's my birthday today and I'm stuck in quarantine. Shout out to Luke and Ollie for another awesome review. Hashtag jam that jam.
Jam that jam, Mike, and happy birthday, Jam.
Happy Hope you birthday, get birthday to you. Jam. The Zorni says, don't worry, peanut butter has protein. Ollie, you're our hero.
So I joked about eating peanut butter through lockdown while Cardona has gotten ripped. And I ate a load of peanut butter while filming the news today. I'm not thinking that was going to make my mouth very claggy for the remaining 10 minutes I had to film.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious, though. And some last-minute super chats have come in. Bacon Rasher, just wanted to say thanks for everything, guys. Missed Quizzlemania as was helping a friend last night, but all caught up now. Great showing, Luke. We do love SRS, but you are still Wrestle Luke to me.
Thanks, guys.
And Gabriel D says, I want to see Darby Allin versus Ricky Starks match so very much after that main event. So much.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you much.
And lastly, thank you to Dylan for Cork for your super chat and no message. Thank you very much.
Nicely spotted. I missed that. Thank you, Dylan. And hello to Ashleen as well, I hope.
Hello.
Yes, that's all we've got time for today. Go over to Cineworld, please, and subscribe to that channel and set a reminder for the event. The link is in the description below. Oh, Richard Martinez, a repackaged Lucha Luke for Quizzlemania champ. Maybe that could be a gimmick change. Go over to Cineworld because we've got the 3 p.m. Cinemania tomorrow, UK time.
Now, Ollie, on Tuesday, we got sent this clip from Vinny.
You got your sunrise, you caught a prize, you're mating your Johnson.
Very funny. Very, very good.
Because it's dicks. Because Johnson means dicks.
Absolutely. Very, very good stuff. Thank you to the dozens of you that all got in touch to tell us what idiots we are. And it's not a holiday thing. It's a boat company. The Johnson is the boat.
Sounds weird when you say it like that. The Johnson is the boat.
Yeah.
Like, it will get you where you need to go fast.
It was Luke's email that just said, guys, this is for Johnson Motorboat. Look at the video. The motorboat is always in shot.
Yeah, I don't think people are always in shot, smiling. I never once saw that and thought, oh, it's obviously for a motorboat brand. Maybe because I don't see a lot of motorboat adverts out there. I'm surprised they made a video commercial.
But in America, I think they might be slightly more common than they probably are here, where we don't really have, you know, large bodies of water. We're surrounded by a large body of water, but we've got, like, you know, rivers and stuff that aren't really made for speedboats. They're made for lovely, slow canal boats.
What are you talking about? Walthamstow Marshes? That's, you know, that's where a lot of London gets its water from. I don't think you're allowed to get in there.
But anyway, the reason why I brought this back up is because I decided to have a little bit of fun with that advert.
You've got your sunrise, you caught a prize, you're making
dick.
Party nights, summer whites, you, your friends, and your
pecker.
Rooster tails, water trails, you, your kids, and your
private.
Saturday nights, distant lights, you, your girl, and your
wang.
You and your
Johnson,
a way of life for over 50 years.
Excellent work. You couldn't hear me. My mic was muted, but I was sniggering away there. Great Austin Powers reference.
I had a bit of time before Quizzlemania last night.
On one of the busiest weeks in months, you still found the time. That dick jokes do not wait for any schedule.
Because basically what we call it, the waiting room, before we do Quizzlemania, which is where we all just get in just to make sure that everything is working fine. It's when Adam was probably at his sweatiest ever a couple of weeks ago when we weren't sure whether Wale was actually going to show up. But like, basically we were just all sat in there and I was just editing that in the background while also chatting to you guys and making sure that everything was fine.
That is multitasking to the extreme. But, you know, we were all nervous last night because, first of all, Sean Ross Sapp showed up about 3 minutes before the stream, trying to big league us with his psycho tactics. But also, Rey Mysterio, what a get.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you do realize that it was Louis, right? I mean, huh? you left the stream early, but, like, right at the end, Louis revealed that it was him.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised. I was as surprised as you are, mate, that it was not Rey Mysterio.
Because now, thinking back on it, it's weird how, you know, hindsight works. He did have an English accent.
Mm.
And he did look like Louis.
And he was in what looked to be like Louis' bedroom.
I didn't even think about the background. I was just all... I just saw the mask. The mask.
He did trick us quite easy. You know, I say quite easily. He did trick us very well by saying that he was in Dominic's room. And I'm like, do you know what? That does make sense, though. That does look like Dominic's room.
We really gotta start paying attention to identity theft. This is twice now this has happened to us at WrestleTalk.
Speaking of things happening to us multiple times, how did you take the loss on last night's show?
You know what? I'm just there to have fun, aren't I? So I did not mind. Look, the horrible, genuine thing is, every time I think my mind goes, oh, I might not come last. And that will be fun in itself if it ever happens. But then my mind gets carried away with itself and thinks, well, you might come first. Wouldn't that be a story? I'm like, okay, that could happen. But it's like all undone in the first three questions. When it's always the price is shite. A game that I thought was arbitrary. I thought you just had to guess stuff. But now I realize that you just have to have an in-depth knowledge of tat. Because that's all you have on me. You just have a deeper knowledge of useless, nostalgic objects and how much they're worth to other people like you.
Oh, so it's our fault, is it?
I don't know. Maybe I should have just looked on eBay a bit before. And also, I thought, because I did really well on a memory round, the sort of pilot Cinemania one that I won. And I got about 12 there. I was really happy with that score. So I used a similar method in the Degeneration.
In the X game.
And my mind just stalled again. And I couldn't remember a single freaking name. God, how good did Sean Ross Sapp do, though?
I think I got like 16 of them.
Oh, that's insane. He's here for a while, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be a while before we get rid of him. But unfortunately, we are going to have to get rid of you because it's time for us to end this show. I will be back tomorrow with the Friday Magazine podcast show with Xenia. I do apologize. I've clearly said that name very, very wrong. I do need
to think it's Xenia?
No, I actually did watch. I did watch her videos to work on my pronunciation of it, but I'm just quite bad at it. I'm gonna have to have another quick watch of it before we actually go live with the episode, so I make sure I don't bollocks it up.
Xenia Warrior Princess.
That's kind of about what I think it is. But anyway, she's going to be on the show. She's great. And I'm really looking forward to having her on. Also, the NXT podcast will be out today. I'm trying to finish this before I sneeze. Take care, everyone.
You're fine. If you sneeze in front of me, God help you.
Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes
without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.